chapter 20. That's where our text will be. Did everybody that needs one get one? Okay. The reason I type this out in this manner for you is because when we get to what is page 2 and we start following a chronology, it could be difficult to follow just verbally. And so I was going to just type that part out, and then I thought, well, why don't you just type everything out? So I said to myself, that sounds like a good idea, and so I did it. Father in heaven, I pray for the Holy Spirit's leading and direction. I pray that he will be the one that teaches and instructs tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. In Exodus chapter 20, we have, of course, the Ten Commandments. And when God says, thou shalt, he is saying, help yourself to happiness. Do this, and you'll have happiness. You'll have fulfillment, satisfaction, contentment. Okay? I don't know. You know, happiness a lot of times can be a joyful, bubbly kind of thing. When I say God says, you know, thou shalt help yourself to happiness, I'm not talking about that sort of thing. Contentment, fulfillment, satisfaction. When God says thou shalt not, he is saying don't hurt yourself. Do that, and you're going to hurt yourself. And so, listen to me. When I say worship begins at home, and so does the teaching of your kids about God. A parent makes one of the biggest mistakes they can by expecting the church to take care of the children's religious instruction. Now, the church will give religious instruction. The church will give guidance. But when that is missing at home, the church cannot do enough to offset it. There is no guarantee that when your children grow up, they will follow the God that you're following. But there is a guarantee that if you don't instruct them and you don't teach them, they won't follow God. And it'll be a miracle if they end up doing so, and it'll be the result of somebody else's prayer and living and not the parent. I can just about hear somebody thinking, well, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to instruct them. I don't know how to instruct them. Well, learn it. That's all I can say.
Right.
If you don't know how, learn it.
Yep.
There's all kinds of resources today that you can go to. It used to be you had to go to a Christian bookstore and buy a book on something. Today, there are so many resources that are available, not only print literature, but videos, CDs, and courses that can be gotten. And I know there's a lot of junk out there. But don't you avoid getting the good stuff because there's junk out there. That is another excuse that I hear Christians give. Well, you know, there's so much junk out there, you just can't trust anything anymore. Yeah, you can. You can trust good sources. And you can find out what are the good sources. And they may not dot the I and cross the T every way that you want them to, but as long as they're writing the right sentence, okay, you can learn from them. So I want to focus today on verse 5, where he says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor to serve them, that is the graven images that are being made in the second commandment. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God. Now, here's the part that I'm going to endeavor to teach on tonight. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, I have not always been able to explain that specifically, but I know what it doesn't mean, okay? I know that it doesn't mean God is going to blame the third and fourth generation for the sins of the great grandfather. In preparing this message, one teacher I learned much from on this subject, and the one who made it clearest in a sentence, okay, was a man named Adrian Rogers. He's dead and in heaven now, okay? what he wrote, and I quote, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and third and fourth generation of them that hate me, it is not saying that the guilt of the fathers will visit down to the fourth generation, but rather the results, the effects of the grandfather's sin is visited on the children. So what that means, and I'll stress this again later, what that means is you better live right now, or your great-grandchildren could end up suffering the effects, not the guilt, but the effects of your sin. Adrian Rogers, he gave an example of this, of this visiting the third and fourth generation in the Old Testament man Uzziah and his descendants. So now we'll go to 2 Chronicles. If you'll turn to 2 Chronicles, and we'll start in chapter 26. Now you'll see I have the scriptures highlighted in yellow and the men's names highlighted in green. Because here again, not only can it be hard to follow this kind of thing, chronological thing, verbally, it can be hard to follow it, especially in a message format, even in black and white print. And so now if it's not for you, God bless you and for the sharp mind he gave you. But for the rest of us, I use some color coding, all right? All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. Now, mistake number one. They took a kid and made him a king. Now, I realize back in that day, 16 was treated a whole lot more maturely than what it is today. I understand that. But it's not as mature as even 25 or 30. Now we got first character is Uzziah. Now, go to, and you can read about Uzziah down through chapter 26. I'm going to verse 16. But when he was strong, that's Uzziah, his heart was lifted up. He got proud, and his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. Now, what did he do to transgress against the Lord? Okay, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now, when he got in there, you can read it, verse 17 through 20. The priest said, hey, you can't do that. That's above your pay grade. That's not your job. And he was not supposed to do this. But just as my notes say there, King Uzziah was basically a good man, but he decided that he would worship God in a way that was forbidden. And that way was to go in and offer incense and to burn incense. He wasn't allowed to do that. Now, you know, in general, otherwise, he was an okay guy. But it doesn't matter how good a guy he was, he was going to do something wrong. And doesn't matter how good a guy you and I are, when we're going to do something wrong, we're going to pay the price for it. And so King Uzziah, he worshiped the true God, but in the wrong way. That goes on today, has gone on every day since Uzziah's day. And there's a price to be paid. And this gave the wrong understanding and picture of God to his son. You see? That's why I say we got to do it right, because we're gonna give the wrong picture to our children if we don't do it the right way. So now we're still in chapter 26, and we're going to look at verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper. You see, that was his judgment from God. He went in, he was going to burn incense, and God struck him with leprosy. And the priests saw the leprosy. And man, leprosy itself was a no-no. The kind of leprosy back in that day, it was an absolute no-no. And definitely it was a no-no in the house of God. And that's where this took place. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and he dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Here it is now. And Jotham, his son, okay, that's number two on your chart. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. So King Uzziah's son Jotham decided that he was not going to go into the temple anymore. Okay? You see, Daddy said, I'm gonna worship the way I want to worship. Now his son Jotham says, I don't know if I need to go into the church to worship. I'll just worship at home. I remember a fellow in my first church down in Reading, Pennsylvania. His wife was very faithful, and I went to visit Jack Greif. And I said, Jack, you don't come to church anymore. And I had learned that back when his kids were growing up, he would literally walk through snowstorms with them to take them to Sunday school. But once they grew up and were on their own, he didn't come to church anymore. I said, why don't you come to church, Jack? He says, well, you know, Pastor, he says, I go out in the mountains, I ride horse, and I'll get on my horse, and I go out in the mountains, and I can commune with God out there. And then he thought he had his high card, his ace in the hole. He said, you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus went out into the mountains. I said, yeah, it does. You're right. But it also says he came back into the temple. So when are you going to come to church? And that's just the way I talk to him. When you got hold of somebody like that, you got to deal with them. That's okay. Right. Now, there's times you may have to, you know, go a little gentle. You trust the Lord to give you leading on it. But for all that, you know, you're gonna hit below the belt. I remember one time I was talking with one fellow. I don't remember what it was about anymore. And he said something to me, and I came back at him. And he said, wow, that's, oh, I remember now. Because he said to me, he said, you know, I like you to say it straight. Don't beat around the bush. Tell me the way it is. So he said something, and I came back at him. He said, wow, that's below the belt. I spoke his name, and I said, that's what you just told me. You want it straight.
He asked for it.
Is that straight enough for you? Anyway, you see, I get in trouble if I do, and I get in trouble if I don't. Now, my daddy had another way of saying that phrase, but I won't use that here. All right, so King Uzziah's son, Jotham, Jotham decided he wouldn't go in the temple anymore. And look at chapter 27. Jotham was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. And his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. So you see, he did the right things, but he didn't limit himself to those things. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord. And what was the result of that? The people did corruptly. And so you have Uzziah. He gave the wrong understanding. Jotham got the wrong understanding. And he didn't go into the temple anymore. Stopped going to church. And then we go in chapter 27 to verse 9. Now, Jotham died. You know, everybody does. And, well, not everybody. Some people lived okay. But Jotham, most people died. Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Ahaz, his son, Jotham's son was Ahaz. So you got Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz. That's the grandson of Uzziah. Ahaz is the grandson of Uzziah. And Ahaz, according to chapter 28, Ahaz worshipped false gods. 28:2. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. See, it doesn't say he walked in the right ways of his father and grandfather. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. And made also molten images for Balaam. Now, the second commandment, you're not supposed to make any graven images. But that's what Ahaz did. And he worshipped these false gods. Now, look at verse 24. Okay, verse 24. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God. Now, these are holy vessels. And he cut them in pieces, the vessels of the house of God. And then, you know what he did? He locked the doors. He shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. They weren't altars to God. Okay? So here's what you have. Ahaz took the holy vessels. He destroyed them. He cut them up. And then he shut the doors. You see, his daddy said, I don't need to go to church anymore. He got to the point, he said, we don't even need the church anymore. We can do without it. But the bottom of the dregs, the pits of this whole thing is in 28 verse 3, where it says of Ahaz, moreover, he burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Now, that's where people worshipped Molech. How did they worship Molech? And burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen who the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. That's one of the reasons why when God said, "They go, Joshua, go in into the land and kill everybody that's there." Oh, that's awful. That's such a treacherous thing. What kind of God is that? I thought it was a God of love. And he tells them, kill all the all of the people and even the children. That's why. Because those people sacrificed their own children to this false god Molech. And God knew that if they were allowed to be there, they would end up causing Israel to do it. Well, I don't know about that. Well, we just read about it. We just read about it. So that's why God said they were supposed to go in and destroy all the people. So Ahaz sacrificed his children to this false god, Molech. All of this started with Uzziah. Now watch the regression of right, or you could say the progression of wrong. Summary, that's on page 3. Uzziah worshiped the true God the wrong way, a different way. See, that's what a lot of times people want to say. Well, I'm not sure it's wrong. It's just different than what you're doing. No, it's either the right way or the wrong way. And this book is what determines it. And you can't substitute for right and wrong the term different. Wrong would be different. But you see, it's used today in a play it down sense. So Uzziah worshiped the true God the wrong way. Jotham, his son, claimed to love God, but saw no need for the church. Now, that's contemporary. There's a lot of people who say they love God, but I don't need the church. You know, I love God, but those people at the church, they're this, they're that, and so on. And then Ahaz, you got Uzziah, his son Jotham, and then Uzziah's grandson Ahaz, who was a pagan. He closed the doors to God's house. He didn't only not need it, he didn't want anybody else to have it. That's pretty contemporary too today. So what are we looking at? Uzziah's great-grandchildren were the ones sacrificed to the pagan god Molech. He's going to visit to the third and fourth generation. And here's an example of it. Now, they weren't guilty of this, but you see the results, the effect of Uzziah's sin filtered on down. And the effect filters on down here. Now, I don't know like Pastor does, but I've heard him refer to different family groups in Black Creek that once came here to church. And they don't anymore. Go find their kids.
Suffering is terrible.
Yeah, that's it. The effects to the second generation, and to the third generation, and to the fourth generation. You say, what about beyond that? Praise God, somebody's going to get their head screwed on straight. Maybe in that fourth generation. But somebody in that family lineage is going to get their head screwed on straight, and they're going to start serving God Jehovah.
That's right. Good.
And going to turn things around. But oh, the devastation.
That's right.
In the meantime.
Good.
We have this false idea that it doesn't matter what I do as long as no one is hurt. But that indeed is a false idea. Sin always hurts. Hurts the one who commits it, and hurts so many people after it that we're not even aware of it. And praise God when there's somebody in the second generation or the third generation who says, I'm going to break this chain. I'm not going to let the sins of my mother, my father, my grandmother, my grandfather, I'm not going to let them sins do to me what they did to them. And there's some of them people sitting here now in this service. Some of those people attend this church who they have determined they're not going to let that sort of effect and result continue on. And God will bless you for it. God is blessing you for it. Okay? Now, Galatians, and I close with this, Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We generally think of that in the negative, the bad sense, okay? And that is, you do wrong, you're going to reap wrong. You know, you do bad, and you're going to reap the results of that bad. But verse 8 tells us, he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, and he that sows to the flesh. So that's true in the good sense, the same as it is in the bad sense. You reap what you sow. So sow godliness, sow righteousness, and that's what you'll reap. Regardless of what any predecessors in your family lineage did. Okay? Not lineage. There is no such a thing. But in your family structure, you do right, and God will bless it. God will bless you, and he'll bless your children, and he'll bless your grandchildren. Amen?
Amen.
Father in heaven, thank you tonight for the great hope that you give us, even as we have seen the hope of Galatians 6, verse 8, of sowing and reaping.